Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. The films Greta, Styx, and Woman at War. Hi, David. How are you?
Doing okay, Jill. How are you doing this week?
Oh, fine. Thanks.
Oh, that's good. Well, I have three films today. There are not nearly enough films focused on women. Most movies remain their traditional masculine focus. Not nearly enough movies are made that really center on women. But this week, I actually have three of them to talk about that are out right now. And at least two of them are really interesting films. So it's really good to see movies focusing on women. Let me start with the one that I think is the worst of the three and the silliest of the three. And it is the movie called Greta. First, there was Greta Garbo. Then there was Greta Gerwig. Now there is this movie called Greta, which I don't think is much good, even though it stars the wonderful Isabelle Huppert, the French actress who is just one of the most prolific and versatile actresses of our time. She's just wonderful. And she's fine in Greta as much as the material allows her to be. But, well, the material isn't much. Greta is a movie by Neil Jordan, who in his time has made some pretty good movies, most famously The Crying Game, which is a long time ago now, but that's a terrific film in many ways. Not a masterpiece, but a terrific film. And he's made a lot of other movies, but it seems that sometimes when filmmakers are sort of on the wane, they turn to making unconvincing, unpersuasive thrillers. I'm thinking of the wonderful Adam Egoyan, who made a pretty weak kidnapping movie a few years ago, and now something like this is going on with Neil Jordan. Anyway, Greta stars Isabelle Huppert as the title character, and it also stars Chloe Grace Moretz as the other star of the movie. She's an interesting actress in that she seems to have a penchant for horror movies. She was in the wonderful movie Let Me In going on 10 years ago. She was in the remake of Carrie. She was in the terrific remake of Suspiria not long ago, one of last year's very, very best movies. But anyway, so despite this interesting cast of Isabelle Huppert and Chloe Grace Moretz, Greta doesn't amount to much. What happens is that a young woman whose name is Frances, who is played by Chloe Grace Moretz, finds a purse which somebody has left behind on the subway. And she takes the purse home and she opens it up and she finds a little card with the name and address of the person whose purse it is, a woman named Greta, and she decides to return the purse. And so she goes to visit Greta at her house, returns the purse. Greta is a lovely older woman who invites her in and treats her very nicely and takes a warm interest in her and her affairs. In the meanwhile, Frances's roommate, when she gets back home, can't believe it. How come you're getting friendly with this old lady? Who cares about her? Well, she's so nice, says Frances, and the relationship between young Frances and older Greta grows closer, and the two of them start to be really friendly and do things together, and then it turns out that Greta is a total psychotic. The next thing you know, she is stalking Frances around the city and terrorizing her, and by the time you get to the end of the movie, all kinds of horrors have erupted. So that's what Greta is about. There's nothing wrong with any of this. It's sort of a standard thriller sort of plot, a stalker plot, a psychotic friend plot, all of this. And it has a few effective moments along the way, but it's just not handled well. I didn't find it taking me in. I didn't find it really gripping me. There's a chilling moment here, a chilling moment there, but then it all sort of gets spun out. There are moments in it which are just preposterous. Frances does what anybody else would do. She goes to the police. The police are totally unwilling and or unable to help, which I found rather implausible because Frances's story is really very compelling. There's this crazy woman and she's following me everywhere. But anyway, I won't go into it anymore. I found the movie unconvincing. So it's getting a good deal of publicity, and I imagine that a bunch of people are going to go to see it, and it's going to have a certain amount of visibility in the scene, but I think it's a very, very forgettable movie, a disappointment coming from Neil Jordan, a disappointment coming from Isabelle Huppert, and now that I've talked about it, I think I'm going to pretty much forget about it, because there is really nothing memorable, I'm afraid, about Greta. I have much more positive things to say about our other two movies today. Again, very, very woman-centric. And the second one is called Styx, which is spelled S-T-Y-X, everybody, like the band and like the river Styx, which is really what the title refers to, the famous river in ancient Greek mythology that goes to the underworld. Styx is almost a one-person movie, not quite. It's really closer to a one- or two-person movie. But it's a very, very strong film with a very, very amazing performance by the main actress, Suzanne Wolf, who plays the main character. This, by the way, is a German and Austrian production. The main character is a woman named Rika, who is a very, very powerful person. We find out well into the film that she's a physician. Actually, we find that out at the beginning. The movie begins with a couple of scenes that seem disconnected from the rest of the film, but they really aren't disconnected. At first, we have some monkeys doing some very graceful kind of acrobatics, and then we have a car accident scene, which is actually where we first meet our main character, Rika. She is an emergency physician, and she goes to the scene of this accident and helps to save people and whatnot. But then we get into the main body of the film when Rika gets onto her yacht and she heads out into the sea and she is going on a very, very long voyage all by herself. That's why I said this is almost a one-person movie for a lot of the running time. So she is out there and she is going to this island that Charles Darwin visited back in his day, back in the 19th century, and that he kind of designed as kind of an artificial paradise. And she wants to go there and see this artificial paradise and see the animal and vegetable life there and so forth. And she's on this voyage and she's reading books about this on her way. And she's very much taking care of herself. And she goes through a terrible storm and weathers it just fine. And every once in a while, she's in radio communication with another ship that we never actually see in the movie. But we know that they're out there and that they're concerned about her and they warn her about the storm and so forth. But then something odd happens. She comes upon another ship out there in the middle of the sea, and it's at some distance away from her, but it's clearly in terrible distress. There are people on it who are trying to get her attention by waving things around. There appear to be people jumping off. There's definitely terrible distress going on in this ship, and we guess, and our guess is accurate, that it is a ship of refugees, that it's gotten stranded in the middle of the ocean. We don't know where they're coming from. We don't know where they're trying to get to, but they're definitely stuck. So Rika, our main character, tries to get help for them, and she gets in touch with the Coast Guard, but help doesn't seem to be forthcoming. What the Coast Guard seems mainly interested in doing is telling Rika, don't go anywhere near them. Stay away from them because you will just cause more difficulty if you go near them. Well, she would like to help, but the Coast Guard is telling her, don't help. You can't help. Don't help whatever you do. So Rika stays nearby. She refuses to go away, but she also is hesitant to actually approach the ship, partly because she's just got a one-person sailing yacht, and this is quite a large vessel with all these refugees on it. She does manage to save one person who has jumped off this other vessel and is swimming and will drown if she doesn't simply pull this person out, and it turns out to be a boy. And she takes the boy on, and she, being a physician, is able to help the boy, who is obviously about to die, and she's able to actually nurse him back to health. But he then wants her to go and save his family and save the others who are on the vessel that he just escaped from. So we now start to wonder whether Rika will be in danger from this boy. So anyway, that is what Styx is all about. And it is very much a human drama about Rika and the terrible challenge that she faces. What is she going to do? Can she help? Should she help? What's going to happen to her? Also, the potential conflict between her and the young boy whose life she has just saved on her boat, And then her relationships with the outside world, which is all happening over the radio, talking to each other, but they're telling her, don't go near that other vessel, whatever you do, and her being so tempted to help, but knowing that she can't really help. And that is what Styx is all about. So again, it's very much a human drama about Rika and the conflicts that she is facing. It is very much a suspense drama. What is going to happen between her and this young boy who she has rescued and who is now on the vessel with her and would like to go and save the others on the vessel that he just fled from. And it's very much, and this is all in the air around the whole story about the refugee crises that we have in our current world and about the terrible human tragedy that unfolds and about how very, very difficult it is sometimes to make decisions about just what is the right thing to do. So those are all the things that Styx is about. It reminded me a little bit of the fairly recent and very underrated Robert Redford movie, All Is Lost, which really is a one-person movie about Robert Redford just on a wrecked boat for something like an hour and a half. Styx is not actually quite as much a tour de force as All Is Lost, and it does have other characters, but it's a very powerful drama, and I've seen it more than once, and I found it very compelling both times, and I strongly recommend it. A very strong movie about a very strong woman, again, wonderfully played by the terrific actress Suzanne Wolf. I also, by the way, should mention Gideon Odwuor-Wakesa, who plays the young boy on the boat. He gives a terrific performance as well. And for our third film, Woman at War, this is not war in the sense of war as we usually think of it. This is a woman who is on more of a crusade than a war, actually. But it's a very interesting crusade that she's on. And it is, again, a very compelling story about a very strong woman. Here we have a movie which is a co-production from various countries, but the main one is Iceland, where the movie takes place. And we have a woman whose name is Halla, and she is a kind of a middle-aged woman. And she, at the very beginning of the film, we discover that she is on a crusade, an environmental crusade. She believes that her country, her community, but also her country is being menaced by all of the industrial forces that are just wrecking the environment. And she is determined to do something about this. And so she is going out and she is actually sabotaging the infrastructure of the country to some extent, getting rid of power lines, that sort of thing, so that the industries will have a more difficult time in, as she sees it, wrecking the environment of her country, destroying the health of her country and, by extension, the planet as a whole. At the same time, she is undergoing a very personal challenge. She has been trying to adopt a child. And this has been delayed, and it's taken quite a long while to happen. And she is suddenly surprised when suddenly there is very rapid moment on this, just as her personal environmental crusade, which is, again, a sort of a private war on the industries that she feels are wrecking her country, just as that war is coming to a kind of a tipping point, her crusade, suddenly there is real motion happening, forward motion on her adoption request. So she has these two things at once. What if she continues her crusade, but it wrecks her chances, which she has been trying for so long to realize, to adopt a child? What if she adopts a child and this interferes with her ability to carry on her personal crusade? So these are the two threads of the story that are going on sort of simultaneously. At the same time, she's involved with some local people in her community, some of whom are engaged with her on her crusade against the environment wreckers, and some of which are involved in the adoption that she's been wanting to go through. And then we find out she has a twin sister. And the twin sister also becomes a character in the movie. And this all helps to lead to a happy resolution of the story at the very, very end. Also, another character who we eventually meet is the young child, the parentless child, the orphan, who she is trying very hard to adopt. So this is what Woman at War is about. And like Styx, it's a movie that has really multiple levels to it that are all kind of going on at once. We have the story of our main character, Halla, who is, and by the way, the same actress, Halldóra Gerhardt's daughter, plays the twin sister as well. Very good work on both of these parts. We have her personal crusade, this war that she is conducting against the industries that she feels are destroying the environment and, by extension, again, are going to destroy our planet if something isn't done about them. We also have her very personal story about her desire to adopt a child, to become a mother. And these two things intersect and intertwine sort of around each other as the story proceeds. There are some real adventure scenes in this movie. There are scenes when she goes out and she knocks down a power line in the middle of nowhere and she has to escape from drones that are tracking her and authorities that are chasing after her and so forth. There's a local farmer who helps her, and for a while it's kind of unclear how much he's going to be able to help her and whether he is going to be willing to put his own well-being on the line to help this crazy woman who suddenly drops into his life. And again, there's real action scenes in this movie, but mainly it's a human drama, and it's a story, again, very much about something which is very real in our world, which is the idea of what's going on with heavy industry and the delicate environment of our planet. The government of Iceland actually figures into this story a bit. So there's that sort of larger political, ecological drama, and the very human drama of our main character, Holly, and also of her twin sister, Asa. So Woman at War, it's not as complicated a movie as maybe it sounds when you tell about it. It's a very, very human drama with, again, some real action, some real adventure, some real suspense. And I just had a good time. It's another movie I've seen more than once and enjoyed it very much both times, and I strongly recommend it. So my three woman-centric movies this week, Jill, that is my story.
For which we thank you, as ever. Women-centric or not, the films... Greta, Styx, and Woman at War.